Good Thursday and welcome to Upfront with Refilwe. It is April 18th, the day before Good Friday. And this, therefore, is the end of our week. So we as a team have decided to say Good Friday to all of you this morning. From me, Johannes and Stefan, we are excited to feel the warmth of the sun on our faces. It augurs very well for a fantastic weekend ahead. We are feeling electric, just like the song says. To be honest, it has been a short week, but a big one, and we are happy to draw it to a close, and I hope you are too. We are T-minus 3 hours from our long weekend off, and so we would like to say, Judas Iscariot, do your thing. We've got an exciting show for you today. We are going to be getting an update from Monique Mortlock, who has been covering the District 6 case for some time. Yesterday, as we discussed earlier in the week, was the case of hearing the contempt from the Ministry of Rural Development and Land Reform, and we'd like to hear what the feedback is. Runway Sale is an online private boutique, club membership boutique, and we are going to be speaking to the owner of Runway Sale during our business segment today, just understanding how, when South Africa only has 1% of us using any e-commerce, this is a lucrative business, especially in these times when we're struggling just to pay for our petrol and our bread and our non-VAT exempt tampons. How do we have space for handbags and such, and especially online, and how does one manage the trust? Speaking of trust, one young lady whose trust has been betrayed is Cheryl Zondi by Tim Omotoso. Her case continues with respect to, I guess, the grooming, fleecing by religion and rape of her by the priest, Tim Omotoso. And Haji Muhammad Dorji wrote an interesting, insightful and deep dive piece on her. It's seldom that we get to hear her side of the story, just of her life. We obviously hear about her from a legal perspective, the case where she was aggressively cross-examined. But Haji decided to write an insightful piece on her platform, Tortoise, a new news platform, and I'm curious to hear more about that. It seems to be focused on slower, more in-depth news. So Tortoise, hence Tortoise. And we'll be asking her a little bit about that as well. And if you are a fan of makeup, if you're a fan of Kim Kardashian West, if you're a fan of Beyonce, I'm so sorry I'm mentioning her 2 days in a row. Their makeup artist, Sir John, has launched a makeup line. And if you know anything about the Instaglam world, Sir John is a celebrity unto himself. His line is going to be available via Woolworths, and we're going to be speaking about the changing face of beauty with the head of beauty at Woolworths, Vivian Joseph, at 11 o'clock. And of course, it's Thursday, which means we have the Binge Club, Mike Wilter, undeterred public servant, and Netflix junkie will be joining us in studio at 11:30 to discuss three of our favorite shows. So join us then.
Cave Talk, the open line.
So it's the precursor to Easter weekend, or Pesach, depending on which book you refer to. And we are excited for the break. Funny thing, no offense, I mean, like, just bear with me, you know, I err towards levity. But I know this is a tough time in religious history, but I was talking a little earlier when I came into studio with Lester, and we were talking about how different this holiday period is from others. And I mean, we know why it's different. It's a little bit Miz. And first of all, sorry, by the way, I don't know about you, but I'm loving Lester Kiewit in the morning. He's cracking me up. He totally cracked me up. Anyways, isn't it odd, is what I'm trying to get to, is that we don't have an Easter song list. We have Christmas carols. And I know it doesn't have to be necessarily as festive as Christmas. Obviously, it's a somber religious period. We are here reflecting on Jesus's passing. But there's also a celebration at the end of it, where, and thanks to capitalism, a bunny rabbit jumps around and we search for chocolate eggs. Because lo and behold, there's actually a joyous moment at the end of Easter, which is that the Son of Man was reborn. And I feel as though there should be some kind of room for a celebratory song, not necessarily a hymn, and it doesn't have to turn into the way that people revive their careers, like Christmas carols have become. But I'm just curious, you know, what would an Easter song sound like? What do we play while we're making hot cross buns? I mean, there's so much that we've commercialized around Easter anyway, from hot cross buns to chocolate eggs. And somebody, please explain to me how the rabbit comes in. I know why the eggs are there, because of the chicken and the rebirth, new life. But just balance me on why the rabbit is there in Easter. I've forgotten. But there's so much that we have actually commercialized that I'm surprised we don't have an Easter jingle or a few Easter jingles like we do have Christmas carols. And if we did have that, please let me know what that would sound like. Are there any that you could suggest? I tested one out earlier with Lester, and I thought one that could be used is "Wake up, little Susie, wake up." Maybe too soon. I don't know. I'm no Andrea Bocelli, but I'm just saying. The other question I wanted to ask you this morning is, you know, one of our Binge Club selections is based on true events. And I always wonder how, when the people who are being portrayed are not famous, for example, how directors select the actors for their films or for the renditions of a living person's story. Now, we all know the story about how Aretha Franklin famously said she felt Halle Berry should play her in a biopic. I'm not being shady, but no, babes, no. But I'm just saying, you know, who would play you in your own story? I think, I can't remember her name, the lady in Bad Boys, Marcus's wife in Bad Boys. I was always told in high school that I looked like her. She's got giant eyes and teeth, which is basically all I'm walking around with. So she can play me. I'm just curious who would play you. And while you think about who could play you, please let me know what would be your song for Easter if we had an Easter carol. I wouldn't mind one. I, you know, while I'm baking raisins into a bun, I wouldn't mind that. Let me know what your thoughts are. Of course, it's the open line. We're talking Airbnb in a major way. You are very in your feels about it. I would say, you know, 0725671567 is the number to WhatsApp. 0214460567 is the number to call. And I'm excited to get through these WhatsApps that you've sent so far. Welcome back to Upfront with Refilwe. It always makes me chuckle when I clearly touch a nerve. Sorry, guys. I've got a WhatsApp here that says, they're called Psalms, Refilwe. Easter jingle. Oh, my word. Girl or boy, sing it to me. Please send us a WhatsApp or give me a call. I'd like to hear how you would sing the psalm in a rendition that could be replicated on a CD in 2019. That's my question. So, Hark the Herald Angels Sing is also a hymn, but it's become something that Mariah Carey can make money off. I'm curious how the commercialization of Easter might extend itself to music. At least someone's got a sense of humor. I got another WhatsApp saying, Easter song, what about Peter Cottontail? That's cute. Again, I would love to hear the tune, so let me know. A number of conversations that were happening this morning. There's a lot of conversation that was going on about Airbnb, which I find quite interesting. If you listen to our conversation with Marriott CEO yesterday, we were discussing the impact that Airbnb might have on the hoteling and tourism industry. One here says, in France, Airbnb is restricted to a certain number of days rental per year, this after pressure from the hotel industry. And the question, I suppose, is this regulation or the regulatory change in the tourism bill, amendment bill that we discussed yesterday, and I'm guessing Lester discussed with you a little bit earlier, might have obviously is seeking commentary from players across the tourism industry. So that includes hoteliers. I wonder, do you think that they will have an outsized impact on how regulation turns out simply because of how big their tax bill is and how much influence they might then have on the government officials who are reviewing the amendment bill? Keep bringing in those answers, but questions that you're bringing in. One of these by Max saying regulation of Airbnb is good with regard to renting. Suburbs that were once affordable to artists, musicians and the like are forcing these people out, thereby losing the very character that once made those very suburbs attractive. Absolutely. The gentrification that Airbnb drags into our cities is quite painful, actually. It displaces the actual heart of neighborhoods in many ways. Another one here saying from Deb, hi Cape Talk, there has to be regulation around Airbnb in blocks of flats. Risk to security and disruption to neighbors with a constant flow of different people and problems with parking. Deb, I've actually experienced something like this in my building. I live above an Airbnb apartment and it's, yeah, significantly noisy and quite frustratingly so. But we deal with it. But I think regulation from the maybe security in the front is all we really need. Do we really need government to get involved with that? Don't we just need sort of a set of rules that the body corporate can agree on? I don't know if you really need that to be regulated. You know, New York did that a couple of years ago. There was a frustration around Airbnb bookings and how they impact residents in buildings and also impact the price of apartments and the flow of traffic. And New York stepped in to regulate quite tightly. Somebody disagrees, says no, there is no rental accommodation because it is impossible to get rid of troublesome tenants. So go for Airbnb. Bureaucrats interfered in the rental market and, as always, stuffed it up. Government must get out of the way. They inevitably stuff it up. Shame. We really don't like government, hey? We Airbnb two properties, this WhatsApp says, and make less than we would in longer-term rental, but the risk is lower to me as a landlord. I find that interesting that you would make less from Airbnb. I thought the whole point of Airbnb being over a long-term rental is that you could charge, you know, exorbitant prices per day. Not so sure. I'm loving your guys' ideas with regards to Easter carols. Thank you so much for obliging and entertaining me. So here an Easter carol says, Gary from Gordon's Bay says an Easter carol, Bright Eyes from Watership Down. Nice one. Very nice with the bunny. And then another one here says, loving your show, Rifilwe. Thank you very much. This weekend, we'll be eating matzah for some of the family, cooking halal for others, and hunting for Easter eggs on Sunday. Coexistence rules. I love that. That sounds like a fantastic Easter Pesach weekend. Jenny says, hi, Rifilwe. Love your show. Thank you. How about Lord of the Dance? I danced in the morning when the world was begun. Oh, yes. And the refrain is dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the Dance, said he. And yeah, I like that, Jenny. Great suggestion. And then somebody else is asking regarding Easter. Rifilwe, could you please explain to me the reason why the date changes year to year for Good Friday and not the same as Christmas, which is always on the 25th regards days? Actually, we were just talking about this with Zane just before the show started. Yeah, so Christmas happens to land on the Gregorian calendar, whereas Easter, for one reason or another, is on the lunar calendar. And the lunar calendar itself obviously moves with the moon. And so that's why. Why they decided on making it Gregorian on the one hand and lunar on the other, I actually can't tell you. But as soon as I meet somebody who's 2,000 years old, I'm going to ask them. I also asked you who would play you in a movie. Zuki. Oh, snap, girl. Okay, we're going to need you to see your picture. She says, good morning, Rifilwe. In high school, I was always told I look like Stacey Dash from Clueless. Never quite understood why. Well, girl, you obviously just gorgeous is what you're telling us. Send us a pic. So the question that is being followed up on the Gregorian / lunar calendar is, it's always on a Friday, though, regardless of calendar. Yes. I think it's the third Friday or of that particular month, which shifts, or the third Friday of that moon, rather, which shifts. Like he came in on Palm Sunday. I can't tell you. Again, my 2,000-year-old friend is going to help me out. All right, somebody didn't like it when I said Judas Iscariot, do your thing, and they say, no, guys, hashtags, too soon. My apologies. Back on the Airbnb topic, we do have a voice note on that.
Good morning, Daniel here. The rental for Airbnb compared to permanent tenancy is not just about income. The income will be many times more than a single month's rental. But your Airbnb or any guest house paying guest, is exactly that. They pay, they go. They have no tenure, they have no rights to it. Your tenant, however, can mess up your property, decide not to pay, be bankrupt, have a good reason not to be able to pay, and you may have to struggle with the courts to evict him in such a situation. So, you know, Airbnb takes away a lot of that problem for people.
Interesting. It's sounding as though everybody has a very different perspective. So here somebody says, let's use a realistic example. In most central areas in Cape Town, it still costs about 1,500 rand per night. I'm guessing that's Airbnb. That's a hotel. The average daily price on Airbnb today is 1,407. So 100 grand left. That's interesting. So is this making a case for not needing to regulate, meaning obviously we're not earning as much as people who have long-term rentals? And then Sharon says there have not been any flats in the CBD or surrounding areas for 3,000 rand per month for at least the last 10 years. Probably more, I would agree. Airbnb then came along and further disrupted the rental market, and prices for rent and sale definitely went up. Prices for rent and sale went up. Okay, even middle-class people can hardly afford the current rents. I'm a rental agent working on the Atlantic seaboard for the last 20 years. Thanks for that perspective, Sharon. Another issue with Airbnb's hearing, we also have people complaining that rental accommodation is now hard to come by because landlords are preferring to let out their flats as Airbnbs. Absolutely. We definitely see that. And some bodies corporate are also concerned as strangers are not getting access to their buildings. Or are getting access? That's an interesting perspective. I think the nature of the long-term rental not coming through is definitely, or not being available to potential tenants, is definitely a case. We discussed that, by the way, when we did property the day before yesterday with Grant Ray. Check out the podcast if you missed it. And on the 15th of May, remember, he's got a smart landlord seminar, in Gardens, at Craft and Graft. So if you have time, make your way over, to hear a little bit more about this, because he also does speak about the Airbnb dynamics, because they have impact on what has been mentioned in this WhatsApp on the one hand, which is security, but on the other hand, it also has an impact on the long-term value that a landlord can get out of an apartment or house. Insofar as when you're Airbnb-ing, you would almost always obviously furnish it, but long-term renters don't always necessarily want furnished spaces, and so the demand sort of cuts back, and sometimes, you know, that means you're forced into the Airbnb market. I'm surprised by a lot of these texts that are in WhatsApps that are saying that the Airbnb is actually somewhat cheaper than a rental, on a per day basis, or even cheaper than a hotel. But I mean, that's just got to be a supply and demand issue. Neil Sintavartikant, what are your thoughts?
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Wonderfully. How are you?
No, I'm well. I'm just a bit irritated that the government's trying to stuff everything up again.
Oh, no. Would you mean in terms of potentially regulating?
Yeah, look, I mean, first of all, you've got to look after the tourists. I mean, for instance, yesterday, Wendy Nola was talking about the prices at Cape Nature or their facilities. And quite frankly, it is too expensive. I've had tourists arriving, going to Cape Point, looking at the difference that they're going to pay and what the locals pay, and thinking, we don't want to be ripped off, and they walk away. So, you know, that's money you lose. Now, the point I was going to make is with Airbnb, you're paying tax on the income you make as an Airbnb operator. I've got guys that have been coming to South Africa for 16 years. They've been coming to us for the last 4 years. And they spend a heck of a lot of money at restaurants. They're buying groceries while they're just adding to the coffers. And, in terms of people having rental flats with body corporates, the body corporates easily can control what you can and cannot do in your flat. I mean,
it's an interesting perspective, Niels. I would argue against your initial point. So government's job is not to take care of tourists. Government's job is to take care of citizens. That's the first job.
Okay, but I mean, if there's tax money coming in, then roads can be built and hospitals can be built, teachers can be paid, et cetera, et cetera.
And so why can't we earn that from, you know, unlike New York, there are other cities who do this, by the way. There are cities who tax at hotels. You have to pay a city tax. Like, they're tourism taxes. We don't charge that.
But we're paying tax anyway. I mean,
the hotel pays corporate tax.
It's not as if there's huge industry in Cape Town. It's not as if the huge ways to sort of
sounds like Airbnb
people.
Is pretty big.
I mean, Airbnb is big because it's not messed around with yet. You know, I had to spend the night in a hotel in Johannesburg a couple of weeks ago, and it was like 1,800 rand, and there was no breakfast included.
Where was this?
Yeah, in Johannesburg.
In Joburg? Which neighborhood?
Just on the airport, the City
Okay.
Lodge.
Okay, so that's going to be a high demand area. And what a City Lodge is, I mean, that's...
So what I'm saying is...
Just over $100 US.
No. But I mean, I don't earn US, do I?
You called in talking about the tourists, right?
Okay, but no, I was talking about being Airbnb alone, because more people will come here because there is a cheaper accommodation available. And my point is also, if they're not spending their money in hotels, they're spending their money at restaurants and all sorts of facilities that are available in the city. Mm. So Cape Town, it's part of Cape Town's lifeblood. I mean, it's needed. I mean,
it is. I completely hear you. I think tourism. I hear you, Nils. Tourism is important.
It's regulation needed, but I mean, the government needs to temper what they do. They can't come in.
I think that's why they're asking for comment. But I don't think non-regulation is fair. At the end of the day, it creates an imbalance in a sector. If one player, A being hotel, is not paying the same thing as another player, B being Airbnb. That's not a free market. So either you need to remove taxes altogether for hotels, which I don't think anyone of us would want, or everybody needs to pay the same fair tax.
But you know, somebody was saying that it's difficult to get accommodation in the city. Now, in the waterfront area would be a great place to have sort of accommodation for people working in the city. But I mean, Marriott, Southern Sun, all of them, they've got massive buildings that they put up which could be low-cost housing. So that argument in itself is flawed.
No, we're straying. Let's go to the headlines, Nils. We'll carry on the conversation after that. Remember, of course, back on Upfront, and Andrea Bocelli is going to be performing at Val d'Avis on the 22nd of April. And as you know, every hour, at any time during the hour, there is an opportunity for you to win live tickets or tickets to the live concert worth 4,000 rand. It's a double ticket that Cape Talk has provided for you. All you have to do is guess what the name of the song is that is played in the Cape Talk 1 second challenge. Send a WhatsApp with the word Andrea and your name to 072-567-1567. And here is the song. Easy peasy. Let us know. Send us your WhatsApps.
Call Refilwe now, 021-446-0567.
George in Scarborough, you had a comment on Airbnb.
Hi, Refilwe.
Hi.
My comments are not aimed at houses that have owners and who rent out one or two bedrooms to Airbnbers.
Okay.
Because they are there to guide them and to give them information on local conditions and things like that. My comments are aimed at houses that basically stand empty they never see the owners or very, very seldom see the owners, that are run by managers or agencies. And people come, they get given the house, basically, and a brief overview by the manager or agent, and then they left and they do their own thing. Those Airbnbers come in, they stay in the area, and especially if it's a small area, they have no respect for local conditions. They do not worry about local animal problems that may exist. They don't worry about recycling. Mm. They basically come in, use, and go. And the only people that really the only people that benefit out of them coming into the area are the owners of the houses and the commercial establishments, the restaurants that are in the area. The local community doesn't benefit one iota from their usage of roads and infrastructure. And anything else.
Especially,
and for that, that's a problem.
Sure. And George, especially if, for example, it's a place that attracts seasonal visitors. So people who attract people on a weekend or people who attract people on long weekends or at the Christmas time, what you end up finding is that every other time of the year, those restaurants aren't making any money because the Airbnb owner is so commercially driven that they're like, we're waiting for when the tourists come in.
Well, the other side of the coin is, I think, you know, the restaurants can make money throughout the year with local support. So that's not really the crux of the matter. But the other side of the coin is that
cities where Airbnb is dominating, that is the issue.
Noise pollution and light pollution and no respect for local conditions. And that goes against the grain within the local community.
So tourists are responsible for noise and sound pollution?
Well, they have big parties. They come in and it's a party, and they bring in people and have a good time. They come into the area for a lovely long weekend and they want to party. and they party and they don't worry about what the noise levels are like and does it affect the neighbors or does it affect the area at all.
I don't know about that, George. I think that's quite a broad stroke. There are people who just want to get away for a quiet weekend. I think behavioral generalization might be difficult, but we can at least get a sense of movement of people.
Okay. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying everybody does it. It does happen. It doesn't happen with every single one, and people do come away for quiet weekends, and that's accepted. But the noise part does happen.
So, George, from a regulatory perspective, what would you want to see happen to quell the concerns you have?
Well, there should be an owner in the house. There should be a resident person in the house.
That
doesn't work that way.
As an Airbnb user, I want the whole unit. I'm not here to sleep in the one bed in your house. And so the reason I don't like B&Bs, I don't want you to talk to me in the morning. I came for a quiet weekend. Do you know what I mean? So they're different tastes, right? So if I go to Paris, so anyways.
At least there should be a responsible manager that if the neighbor's got a problem, they can pick up the phone and say, you know, hey,
that's
your people
fair.
Are making noise or they doing whatever they shouldn't be doing.
Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you, George.
Bye.
Bye. George makes a fair point. I want to believe that the whole point around users getting rated and hosts getting rated is that you can self-regulate one another. So if you do have loud people, that person will be seen as a poor guest and get worse offers. And if you are a person who doesn't control your guests, you will not become a super host and you won't get as many guests. But just correct me if I'm wrong. Matthew in Constantia.
Good morning, Rufilwe. Thank you for taking the call.
Of course. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Excellent. So just, I must say your last caller made some sweeping generalizations.
He did.
And I don't think he has personally met every couple that's ever stayed in an Airbnb, so I would take a lot of his comments with a pinch of salt. The fact is we're a developing nation. Anything anyone can do to be earning money should be encouraged by the neighbors. Mm. And many of his complaints about Airbnb clients could really be said of many South Africans. Many South Africans don't recycle. Many South Africans don't get involved in their community.
Yes.
So, yes, there may be some people who stay in an Airbnb who don't get involved in the neighborhood and aren't perfect guests. But the same could be said of many residents. The same could be said of people staying in hotels. The same could be said of drivers.
Mm.
It's a general human statement he made, but I don't think it's a good reason to not do Airbnb. And I just think that if we look at our economy and if we look at where we are, we should all have an attitude of bending backwards and making the space available for our fellow South Africans to make whatever business they can. At this point, there's a more important mission. It's not about keeping it all tidy and pretty and comfy for ourselves. It's about building and making money.
I think that's a fantastic approach. Thanks a lot, Matthew. In George's defense, I did call him out on the generalization too, and he conceded. He did
General
say,
George, yes.
Yeah, okay. So just to be fair to him. But I appreciate the point, and I like hearing it from another perspective. I'm not the only voice.
It's got to be messy. We all have to accept the fact that it's going to be messy. Messy can be fun.
Nah. And we can make some money and be messy.
There we go.
Can you sing me an Easter carol, please, Matthew? I just put you on the spot there. Yeah.
Shall I sing a song about the amazing egg-laying bunny?
Yes, please, if you could make it up.
That's the story of Jesus.
Yes, you did better than Sam Smith. That's all I know. Thanks a lot, Matthew. Have a good one. Ciao.
Bye.
I love hearing all your perspectives. I think it's very important for us to sweep towards the government perspective. Derek Harnikorn, our tourism minister, explained why it's necessary for us to look at Airbnb.
The first thing I have to say is that Airbnb is a good development in the tourism sector, in my view, in any event. Of course, the existing establishments, hotels and guest houses could regard it as unfair competition. In fact, they do regard it as unfair competition, and they do have a point. The fact of the matter, though, is that we don't live in a static world. We live in a dynamic, changing world. And these things that some people call disruptive technologies are generally beneficial to our economy, and they should be welcomed because, you know, things change and new possibilities emerge out of the change. But at the same time, and one has to be cautious that the new things that arise out of these positive changes, if you like, don't have unintended negative consequences. So take Airbnb, for an example. it's a great development and does offer consumers or tourists choices, and in many cases offers more affordable accommodation. Not in all cases. Many existing registered guest houses are registered with Airbnb as well, and some Airbnb places are not that cheap. Some are cheap, some are affordable, largely, of course, because their costs are lower. So a guest house is an operating guest house and has permanent staff at the guest house, so they have overheads, and the Airbnb doesn't. That doesn't mean they shouldn't exist. I think they should exist, and I think it offers the tourist a kind of a rich diversity of experience. Many tourists would prefer to stay in a home or to stay in a suburb somewhere, even to stay in a township, and that's a matter of preference. So it's a good development. However, I think we should listen to what the industry is saying. I think it would be wrong not to, that it could constitute unfair competition.
That is a very sage and balanced perspective, I would say. That as long as you're operating, and this is what I was saying a little earlier, as long as you're operating in an industry, and particularly, I think one of our callers actually highlighted, not necessarily the people who, George, I think it was, not necessarily the people who are saying, here's my one room in my house, but the people who actually have, they've created a business out of it, like several properties, or they have a company managing. I have to treat you as a company. I can't be treating you as just, little Macy who is just renting out her back room. It's not the same.